It's always a blessing to be in the house of the Lord to worship together. I wish each of you a special blessing upon your life as you keep pressing on. We sang a song about just over yonder. And as we sang that song, I wondered, what kind of choices are you making today to be sure that you're ready for that day? It's kind of a sobering thought that I had as we sang that song, because it's a jubilant song to sing, but it comes down to everyday choices that each one of us have to make. And it ties with the thoughts that I wanted to share this morning. Before we go there, I just wanted to give a few announcements, if I can, Jason. I should have asked you, but some of you ask about our revivals. That's coming up here in March. We don't have any prayer meeting because revivals is the next thing. And in March, it's 16 to 22. It's the third full week. Put that in your schedules. That's March 16 to 22 is our week of revivals, because we need revived, don't we? We have so many shortcomings. We need to make choices every day, and we need that week of revival. And so plan your schedule to be here. Brother Roland Good is from the Ontario area. Roland's wife is a niece to Janet Dean. And before Janet passed, she told me, she said, you should get Roland here to have revivals. And so I did that. And Roland consented to be here. And so I feel there's a little special connection there to have Roland here. Put that on your prayer list, and we look forward to that. Also wanted to remind you of our council and communion. Our council service is April 1st, and communion is April 5th. Just a reminder that council service is when we're looking for your advice on ordinations. Brother Jason is asking for a deacon ordination, and Brother Titus would like a helper, minister ordination. We're asking for both. We're going to be taking your council on April 1st. That's a Wednesday evening. Keep that in your schedules. Continue to be in much prayer. If we want our church to grow, we need to have growth. And it starts in the leadership team. And so we want the Lord's direction in that. For a sermon this morning, you can turn to the book of Colossians. this past week, I've been reading through the book of Colossians, looking for inspiration. Some days you read through a chapter and you don't get much inspiration. And then the next day you read through a chapter and you just stop because several verses just get your attention. And then you can't get your mind off of those verses and you decide that that's what you're going to preach on. And that's what happened to me this week. The book of Colossians is wrote to the saints. If you're at chapter 1, verse 2, it says, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. That's you. Saints and the faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. He was writing to the church there, the Colossian church. But we could put in there, to the saints which are at Calvary this morning. It's because we are pressing on. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all saints. And it goes on. But your faithfulness, brothers and sisters, is an encouragement to each other to keep pressing on. When we see a church full of people wanting to follow the Lord, it's a strong encouragement to the leaders. To the leaders of a church, we pray for you often, and we give thanks to God and the Father for your faithful desire to follow him. And we go on into verse 23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. The book of Colossians is to believers that understand there's a struggle and that there's choices to be made. Chapter 2, we go into false teachers. And he's saying, be careful. Know what you stand for. And I really like verse 10 in chapter chapter 2, verse 10, and it says, ye are complete in him. Maybe that's a key verse to the book of Colossians. We're just kind of doing a quick, brief overview. And then we come into chapter 3. And when I got to chapter 3, that's where I got hung up. I would like to read verses 1 to 4. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on this earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And that phrase, set your affections on things above, just kept going through my mind. How do you do that? How do you set your affections on things above when you live in America and you live in Franklin County and everyone else is doing something different? So it seems. How does it become practical to seek those things which are above? How does it become practical to set your affection on things above? And that's what I'd like to preach on this morning. I'd like to focus on those few verses. Probably won't get real far. We're just going to stay right here on those four verses. But we want to think about seeking. We want to look at setting. Setting, and then I want to look at that word affection. Set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. I believe these verses are practical today because it teaches us how to keep a heavenly heart while living an earthly life. It does not take us out of the world, but it keeps the world from getting into the throne room of our heart. It was a quote that I found. It's practical because it teaches us how to keep a heavenly heart. And that's why I connected with that song that we sang just over yonder. Because it's choices that we're making today. It's if we're setting our affections. And it starts out by if. There is an entire group of people that this doesn't apply to. But if you are risen with Christ, if, then you can know that you can have a future home in heaven. We need to answer that question ourselves. I thought about taking a raise of hands. Are you risen with Christ? And probably most of us would put our hands up. But then the next question is what are you doing to prove it or to show it that you are risen with Christ? How do you know? Well, by what choices and by what actions do you base that decision on that you are risen with Christ? It's more than just simply saying, I'm a Christian. It's more than just simply, it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of choices. These are very practical verses. We went to town last night, and coming home, I told my wife, I said, there's a new house up here in the development right behind us. Live behind a development, if you know where I am. So there's a new house up there that I don't remember seeing them build, and I just can't believe that they built a house, and I didn't see it. I don't really drive that way a lot. It must have been longer than I realized because I said, I'm going to drive up here and look at this house. Drove up there. It was dark, and the lights were streaming out of the house. It hadn't moved in yet. You could see straight through the house. It was beautiful. Large windows in the front, big A-frame on the front. You could see the big chandelier hanging inside the house. I just stood there and looked at that house and like, that's beautiful. Somebody did a really nice job. Turned the van around, started heading out, and I seen the next house had the local business's van sitting there, and the local business that lives behind me has the means to begin buying more property, and so he bought another nice house, and all of a sudden I began to feel sorry for myself because I don't have a nice house, and I was carnal enough to tell my wife, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. These people all got nice houses. They got nice businesses. Businesses are growing and they're buying more properties, and I don't. I can't. And my wife said, she knew what I was preaching on. She said, set your affections on things above. See, it's very, very practical. It's choices that we make every day of how we're going to live our life. There's some people that are living their life focused on the next big thing. I'm not saying it's wrong to build a new house. I'm not saying it's wrong to have a business. And I'm not saying it's wrong to have lots of business vehicles. I was just feeling, I took it personal and I began to feel sorry. And that's where it's wrong. Because God is calling us to something different. He wants us to live life focused on Him. So these verses become very practical. It tells us where to look. He says, look above. He tells us where to love. Things above. We're told who we are, and that is we're dead to self and alive with Christ. And he tells us where our security is. It's in Christ Jesus. It's not in the things of this world. He tells us who our life is. He said, your life is hid in Christ. Your life is Christ. And he tells us where our hope is. And that was the song that we sang about, that we have a hope when this life is over that we can be with Christ. Do you believe it? Do you live it? Are you making it practical in your life? So I looked at these verses and I thought, well, if you be risen with Christ, what's the opposite of that? And so I went to the internet and got some help to rewrite verses 1 to 4 from a worldly viewpoint. This is not King James. I'm going to read it from a worldly viewpoint. If ye then be increased with substance and exalted among men, seek those things which are below, where moth and rust do wait, and where thieves break through and steal. Set your affection on gold and goods, on name and fame, and not on the kingdom of God. For ye are dead unto heavenly things, and your life is wrapped up in that which passeth away. And when the Lord shall appear, and that wherein ye trusted shall be made manifested as vanity. That's sad. But unfortunately, there's a lot of modern Christianity living that kind of a gospel. That they are putting their focus, their goals, their aims into the things of this world that are going to decay. And when this life is over, those things are going to pass away. And unfortunately, their life has nothing to stand on. That is the gospel according to the world. Seek below, set below, live below, and lose all below. But that's not who you are this morning. If you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Seek above, set your affections above, hide your life with Christ, and appear with him in glory. Such a contrast to the worldly man and the godly man. It's the way we live our life. It's the choices that we make every day. The worldly man seeks things below. He's unfulfilled. He's always looking for that next thrill, that next pleasure. He's not content with his life. How is your life? As you see the way you're living your life, are you content with where God has placed you? Or are you constantly looking for that next fun thing, the next thrill? See, the things that we seek become where we set our affection. The things that we seek. And so we could ask the question, where is your affection? What has your affection? Because the affection is what we're going to be seeking after. We just came past holiday known as February 14. And for men, that is a day to show your affection. Based on what this world says, it's a day that you are to show your affection to your wife if you're married. You should show your affection by buying her some flowers, by getting her a card, by getting her some candy. Spend a lot of money on her, and that's how you show affection. Is that true? That's where my mind went when I thought of this word affection. I thought about how that February 14 is such a cheap show of affection. It's, you buy your wife flowers one day, and in this world, you yell at her the next day. That's not true if you're risen with Christ. But to the man of this world, his affection to his wife is a cheap thing. For a godly man, your affection is something that you have sought after, you seek after, and you set it. And we're going to look at that, these words, just a little bit further. Let's think about, what does seek look like practically? Seek those things which are above. To seek means to pursue, to aim at, to go after, to make it your business. We seek it. We seek it. It's not merely agreeing with truth. It's not admiring the truth. It's not hearing the truth. But seeking is pursuing truth. Seeking is prioritizing Christ. Seeking is ordering your life around what matters to God. Seeking is more than just wishing. Seeking. We seek things in life that we desire. So men, what are you seeking in your life? And when I just sat and thought about these verses, that question kept coming back to me, what am I seeking? The things that I seek will become the things that set my affection. How do you seek? Seek those things which are above. How do we seek and show that we are seeking Christ? If you're risen with Christ, we are risen with Christ. How does that make a difference in your life? And so to show by action that we are seeking Christ, that means we will start every day with Him. We will start every day with Him. We will seek Him, and we show the Lord that we are seeking Him by starting every day with Him, taking time to read His Word, taking time to give Christ first place in my life. What gets your first attention often gets your strongest affection. Just taking time to start your day with God. Now, I know from example or from life that it's easier said than done. And how much effort are you putting forth into seeking Christ? It's so easy. The past week, there was a day where I was busy, and I remember clearly thinking, I'll read my Bible later. And it didn't happen. Because there were other things that took its place. I was so busy, I did not have time to read my Bible because I'll do it later in the day. Can you identify with that? Is that seeking Christ, or is that seeking the things of this world? Business for myself. We seek Christ by seeking Him in prayer. When you think about the issues that come into your life, the first thing that should be is a prayer to God. Lord, I need You today. Lord, I need Your wisdom. Lord, I need Your strength. Lord, I need You to protect my loved ones. The list goes on and on. That's how we seek the Lord. We seek Him by prayer, by relating to Him, by talking to God, cultivating a relationship with God. We seek Him by prayer. We seek Him by actively turning from the things that would distract us. That could be technology. It could be the things that beep. It could be the things that buzz. It could be the things that are taking your attention from off Christ. By actively taking those distractions out of your life, that is how we seek God. And we seek God by keeping eternity in view, realizing that this life on earth is short, and what we accomplish is going to pass away. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above. And I'd like to think a little bit setting. How do we set our affection? What do you think about when you think about this word set? Well, I think about set means you make a choice. Or you set things by intention. There's a cup of water up here that was set here by intention. I'm holding this cup of water, and I choose to set it somewhere. I'm not going to stand here and hold it. And so I choose to set it right there. It was a deliberate act. When we choose to set something, we make a choice. Everyone, you came into this building and you chose to set down. You made a deliberate choice to set yourself on the bench. The trustees made a deliberate choice to sit on that bench in the corner. Where you choose to sit probably does say something about your life and your choices. You sit in the back. You sit in the middle. You sit up front. You sit on the front bench. You sit wherever. It's a deliberate choice. Set your affections. It's a deliberate choice. It's not going to just happen. Setting tells me you're making a choice. So when I read this verse, this set your affections on things above, it's a deliberate choice that I'm going to look at my life. I'm going to make choices in my life that's going to cut my business, that's going to hurt my sales, but I'm going to choose Christ. I'm going to set my affections on heavenly things. Setting also speaks of a direction of travel. We say we set our face, or we set that car to go north. If I set something to go a certain direction, that means it's a direction of travel. If I get my compass out and I'm following my compass and it says to walk this way, I am setting a course. Setting means it's setting a direction of travel. Again, setting your affection. You're setting a course for life, showing the things that get your attention, either on things of this world or things above. Which is it? Our affection is always moving us towards something, either to God, which that's what these verses say, set your affections on things above, or it's a course for self, or a course for success, or a course toward pleasure, or a course toward comfort, or a course toward fear. Setting puts us on a direction of travel. Setting also has the aspect that the word set provides firmness. If you ever pour concrete, some of you do, concrete, you pour this liquid stuff, and then you wait for it to set. You wait for it to get hard. And if you get on it too soon, it's too soft, and you say it needs to set more. The longer it sets, the harder it gets. And I like that aspect, because when we think about setting our affections on Christ, when we get them there, it becomes our lifestyle, and our lifestyle begins to get set. We get set in our old age, don't we? The things that we do and the way we live life. I read a paper one time. It talked about the different percentages of when you're 16, your chances of changing, when you're 18, your chances of changing. I think till you hit about 22, they said you were set in your ways. They said pretty much the way you're living your life, young person, is the way you're going to live your life. Do you like the choices that you're making? Do you like where you're seeking and your affection and where you're set? Do you want to live the rest of your life that way? You still have opportunity to change. But setting speaks of firmness. A heart that is not set will easily shift. And we see that in the world all around us. People, they don't know where they are. We need to be set in our affections on Christ. Setting also has the aspect of priority. You set something according to where you think it belongs based on how much priority it is. If it's something that you don't care about, you'll take it in the house and you'll set it down, and all of a sudden you'll say, where did I put that? I can't find it. I know I put it somewhere. It's setting. The reason you can't find it is because you didn't care about it. But if you had $1 million and a gold nugget, I don't know how many ounces that would be, but a lot. Let's say a big hunk of gold. You're going to set that gold at a very special place because you care about it. You're not going to lose it. You want to protect it. Setting shows the priority that we place on something. And so is our affections. We're going to set our affections on things that we care about. Setting shows their priority. Setting is the opposite of drifting. When you think about setting something, you think about anchoring it there. It's set. It's not moving. Versus a boat that's just drifting in the water. It's not set. Are we set in our love of Jesus Christ, or are we just drifting around? A heart not set on heaven will settle for earth. There's a little phrase, another phrase that I found. A heart not set on heaven will settle for earth. Where is your heart set this morning? Now, we've been using this word affection. Set your affection. I want to think about affection. What do you think about when you think of affection? Well, we think of affection, we think of love, because we already talked about that, love for something. So I looked this word up in the Greek, and that's basically what it means, but it's a little different than that. This word means to exercise the mind, to entertain or have a sentiment or opinion, to be disposed of to a certain direction, to interest oneself or have an affection on, or be of the same mind. It's thinking about your mindset, your affection, the things that you allow your mind to dwell on. And so this verse is used, probably this word is a Greek word, phronio. And it's used in places like Matthew 16:23, where he says, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not. And that word savorest is this word affection, savorest. And so if you really like something, if it has your affection, you're going to savor it. One place it's used affection, the next place it's used savor. Romans 12:3 says, I say through the grace that is given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. And here's this word to think. It's the same word, affection. To have an affection for oneself. Philippians 2:2 is another one. And there's probably 40 of them that I could have read. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. And this word like-minded is the same word to have an affection for. And so we have an affection for one another, but we also want to have our minds blended together. Set your mind on things above. Set your mind. Set your mindset. The things that you think about, what's going inside your mind, your affection on things above. It's a very clear verse on affection. We could go to 1 John. 1 John 2, verses 15 to 17 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. It's talking about our affection, isn't it? It doesn't have the word affection, but it's the things that we love. This world has an affection for the things of the world. We have an affection for the things of God. And it shows up by where we put our affection. Do we want to be a part of the things of God, or do we want to be a part that brings this world pleasure? Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through nor steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. That's affection. Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart, your affection, be also. Affection is directional. Affection goes back and forth, doesn't it? It shows your affection is always set on something. You don't have just general affection. If you say, I love something, if I love someone, it's directional. My wife, your husband. If you love a certain kind of candy, it's not that I love candy. No, it's I love Snickers. I have an affection for them. And when I walk through the candy aisle, none of them get my attention except Snickers. And when I see it, there's a Snicker. It's got my affection. It's got my attention. Set your affection on things above. The things of God, get a hold of us. Or is the things of this earth? Affection reveals my treasure. Affection reveals my treasure. The things that we love tell us what we're putting our time and our energy into. So I'd just like to look at a few points here in closing of why Colossians 3 is practical for us today. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affection on things above, not on things of this earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. How is this practical for us today? Well, it gives us stability in an unstable world. Everything around us is changing. The political scene. There's just always things. You hear something one day, and the next day it's changed. It's unstable. The world around us is changing. There's no stability, but we can base our life and be risen with Christ, and it gives us the stability that we need for life. We can face change. We can live in a world that's falling apart, but our life doesn't need to fall apart because our life and our affection is based on things above, not on things of this earth. Second point that I thought about, practical ways that these few verses help us in life. It helps us with the mental clutter and the distractions that come with life. Because my attention, my focus is on Jesus. And so my business decisions are based on my love for Him. The way I treat my family is based on my love for Jesus Christ. My church attendance is based on my love, whether I want to be here or not. It's based on my affection. It's whether I'm seeking those things which are above, or whether I'm setting my affections on things that God wants me to set my affections on. It helps me clear out the distractions that's in my life and focus my life. The third thing I have is it protects us from living only for temporary things. And the things that I was tempted with, a new house, a big business, is so temporal, isn't it? Just going to pass away. It helps me understand life when I can get a grasp of these verses, that I am seeking the things of God, that I am setting my affections on things of Christ, it helps me understand that my living here is only temporary. The image that we try so hard to set for other people, it's just temporary. In a few years, my life will be in a box, and people won't care. But what will care is the decisions and whether my affection was on the things of this world or on things above. That's what's going to matter. Some things are only temporary, but there are some things that will affect my destiny. Another aspect is that it changes how I handle stress and the pressures of life. Dealing with business stress, being taken advantage of, either it's going to put you down or it's going to put your eyes on your heavenly goal. It's going to help you with the stresses of life when you have your affections set on things above, not on things of this earth. Things of this earth are going to pass. The fifth thing that it does is it helps make everyday choices clear. When we're facing life, we need to make decisions. We can come back to these verses and say, is this setting my affections on Christ? Is this helping my relationship grow? Or is it taking me to what this world has to offer? Is it drawing me closer to Christ, or is it taking me farther away? Is it enhancing my Christian life? Is it enhancing my walk with God? Or am I growing cold? See, these simple verses, to seek and to set my affections, help me make choices every day. It comes right down to of what I allow myself to watch on YouTube. Set your affections on things above. It's a choice that I'm going to make to what I'm going to click on and allow to enter my mind. The videos that we watch. Is it taking me to Jesus? Is it setting my affections on things above or on things of this earth? It's going to affect the way I spend money. It's going to affect the vehicles that I purchase, the phones that I buy, my technology. You put it in there. The money that is spent, is it showing that I'm building up treasures in heaven or on this earth? It's going to affect the way I talk, my responses. Not just when things are going good, but when things are tough. It's going to affect my words. Because if my affection is set on this earth, then I'm going to be easily offended. But when I have my treasure in heaven, it affects the way we respond to the people around us. It affects the way we use our time. It shows where our affection is. Simple everyday choices. It affects my church attendance. How much time do I care about the things of God? And so it does affect where I go to church on Sunday morning. Whether I'm going to be sitting at the NASCAR races, which I know none of you will, so that's why I picked that. You put it in there. There's things of this world will grow strangely dim according to our affections. When we love the things of God, we want to be here. But when we love the things of this world, we have no desire to be here, and it's a chore to be here. And I would rather be doing something else. I'd rather have the four-wheeler up in the mountain. I would rather go boating. I would rather, you put it in there. See how it affects my everyday choices. It affects my love for the things of God. And the last point that I have is it gives us hope in a discouraging age. This world is discouraging. The news is discouraging. Everything around us can be discouraging. But when we have our hope and our affection and we're seeking those things that are above, we don't have to be discouraged. We have hope. We have a vision for the future. It says, when Christ shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. We can have that kind of hope. Why? Because we're setting our affections today. We're seeking him. We're making choices today so that when Christ comes back for us, we're ready to meet him in glory. God bless each of you this week as you seek and as you set your affections on him. Let's kneel for prayer.